This episode was originally released on the Fantasy Sports by Fry Patreon page. You can check out the Fantasy Sports by Fry Patreon page by clicking the link in the show notes or going to Patreon and searching Fantasy Sports by Fry. G'day sports fans, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Fantasy Sports by Fry podcast. I am sitting down on Monday evening for the first of what will be 23 consecutive rounds of footy talking about the AFL fantasy rookies. So each Monday on Patreon, I'm going to be doing a stock up and stock down for the rookies, looking at each different position. Some weeks there might be more rookies to talk about. Some weeks there might be a 5-minute episode, but this week we have a bumper podcast coming up because there's a lot of footy over the weekend. Some of you may have watched every game. If you're a bit of a fantasy addict like myself, you will probably be actively looking at all these cash cows. Some of you might have tuned into your team and have a little bit of uncertainty around which rookies you can pick. So I'm going to basically go through each position, talk about the rookies who I think improved their chances of being picked from a fantasy perspective and those who didn't. So spoiler alert, there are not a lot of rucks to talk about in these episodes, but I do unpack which rookie is the right pick for your R3 slot, talk about how many rookies in each line you should be playing on field, and every bit in between. So let's not bury the lead. Here we go. Let's start in defense, where a lot of coaches aren't batting very deep when it comes to fantasy rookies. At the moment, I have zero players under 300K on my field, and I think that there's a lot of other fantasy coaches who will be employing a pretty similar tactic. So on the weekend, the top defensive scoring rookie was none other than Ari Schoenmaker from the St. Kilda Footy Club. Now, if you haven't heard a lot about this kid, he was essentially touted as the best kick in last year's draft pool, got taken 62nd overall by the Saints, which I think was the third last pick off the top of my head. He is predominantly a user by foot. He racked up tons of fantasy points for Tassie last year in the Coates Talent League. He also showed off a couple of skills whilst playing for the Allies side. And I do think that if he's playing in a fantasy, from a fantasy perspective, then he's someone that should be picked. He scored 83. He's one of my favorites as a potential rook, but he does have some shaky job security, to put it best. He had 14 kicks from his 16 touches against the Roos, boosted with 11 marks. But like I said, there's not exactly a certain role for him for the Saints coming up this season. We know that Jack Sinclair might miss a couple of the early games, which could open the door for Schoenmaker to be a cash cow. And he'll be someone as a name to monitor over the next nine-ish days before the fantasy season commences. We know Jimmy Webster's going to be smacked with a lengthy ban. So in short, if Schoenmaker plays, I think I will put him on my defensive pine. We all had someone like Lockie Cowan last year, even though we weren't sure how many weeks we were going to get out of him. I'm hoping that Schoenmaker, if he does get a gig in round one, can play well enough to solidify his spot in St. Kilda's best team. He may only be a 2 or 3 week stay, but I have high hopes for Schoenmaker's scoring potential. The next rookie, I don't have as much hope about him scoring great, but Zach Reed will probably be the most picked sub 300K defensive player. Scored 67 against Geelong a couple of days ago. Jordan Ridley's injury to his quad only boosts his job security, in my opinion. He should become everyone's D7 now after Dan Curtin missed the preseason clash against West Coast. In my opinion, at the moment, Zach Reed is the safest defensive rookie to start the season. So there'll be a lot of coaches that will pay up a little bit for him at 253K. And he is a key back. Did play, I think he led the Dons for time on ground against the Cats. We may not see the greatest scores out of him, but he could be someone who's a very handy tool during those early bye rounds if you're trying to field a full six down back. If you're starting with a Dacos or a Williams or Kadeen Coleman, someone like that, you might be able to plug Zach Reed in and hope that he can churn his way towards a 60. Charlie Dean was another rookie that scored reasonably well for the Magpies, rather. Did boost his chance of round zero, round one, with a solid 63-point outing. I still think he's out of Collingwood's best 22, though. So there aren't too many fantasy coaches that'll be rolling the dice and picking him at the moment. Has been on Collingwood's list for a couple of years now, has Charlie Dean. It's in 4% of sides as I record this. So there are some coaches rolling the dice, but I don't think Charlie Dean will get up for round one. I do think another 200K defender in Ethan Phillips will play for Hawthorn. We know that their lengthy injury list to their defenders means that they're basically looking for any warm body to plug that gap. And I think he's currently my D8. And unless Schoenmaker gets a gig, he will stay there. Still a decent score of 43. I know it doesn't sound great on paper, but that should be enough to help him churn up a little bit in value. Hopefully he can get more scores north of 55 and closer to 60 and really kickstart his cash generation early on in the year. I cheated a little bit and I've gone slightly above the usually mentioned price bracket. Nick Caulfield is 358K. Coaches that have plugged him at D6, you don't need to stress too much. I think that he's going to be a safe 60 more weeks than not. And I think that he's the best of the discounted players that you could target for your last on-field pick. If you want to go in a different direction, though, you could use one of those aforementioned rooks. But we do know that Blake Howes is going to make his debut for Melbourne as well. He was drafted back in 2021, averaged 86 from 14 VFL games last year, which is pretty fancy. Only averaged 50 the year before that in his first year in the AFL system and scored 26 in his hit out against Richmond. Richmond? I'm pretty sure that's who Melbourne played. It was a while ago, but I don't know exactly how Blake Howes is really going to perform. If I'm being frank, I don't know a shitload about this bloke. And I think there are a lack of reliable rookies in defense, but the names I've already reeled off, like Phillips, Charlie Dean, if he gets a gig, Zach Reed, maybe even Ari Schoenmaker, I have a lot more confidence in them emerging as solid cash cows to commence the year. So if you're looking for someone to put on your defensive bench, like I said, we used Lockie Cowan last year, maybe a little bit out of desperation, and Blake Howes might be that for some coaches, but I do prefer some of the other players who I already talked about. However, the D's have said he's going to play on Thursday night. So if he comes out and churns a 55-ish score, and we know that that's going to kickstart his cash generation when round one ends, hopefully he's there for that game as well. But I do think that the 20-year-old is an okay option and definitely someone that's increasing his fantasy potential and the interest in general around the fantasy community. His teammate, Marty Hoare, he's the first of the blokes who I said their stock is down. He can't be picked for your classic side. Hopefully he becomes a target after we've got a fattened rookie on our benches. Maybe someone like Zach Reed plays a month of footy, goes up to nearly 400K, and then Marty Hoare is able to come in for the D's and we can make a quick 100K there. But like I said, didn't play in their preseason clash last week. So I think as a result, we can't really trust Marty Hoare in our starting side. And Dan Curtin is the other big one. It's a huge bummer he didn't get to play against West Coast, but it might actually be a bit of a blessing in disguise. He's had a super interrupted preseason, so he might be doing us a favor by us not picking him. I don't know if he's going to get up for round one. It doesn't sound like he will, and maybe he'll commence his year playing for Adelaide's Sandful side. You could always shuffle the deck a little bit if he is named round one. I'm kind of now hoping that that doesn't happen because I love the structure of my current side. And it does not have Dan Curtin in it. Another rookie who is not in my team but still has a very high ownership is Toby Pink. It's a no from me. He scored 28. I know he's a mature ager heading to the Roos, so there is the opportunity of him playing a lot throughout this fantasy season. But yeah, from a scoring standpoint, I don't think we're going to see anything great from Toby Pink. So you could always throw a dart there if he is named round one and hope he is a slow burn cash cow. I don't have a lot of confidence in picking him though, so I'd be steering elsewhere. Similar with a couple of Gold Coast Suns. The most popular one was Bodie Yulin, 219K. Only played a very small portion of the game against, I'm blanking, not Brisbane. Who did Gold Coast play? Fry, figure your shit out. Doesn't matter. The point I'm making is that I don't think he's in Gold Coast's best side. So he won't be there round one and he shouldn't be in your fantasy side for round one either. Will Graham, one of their academy picks, had a few points less than Bodie Yulin, 225K. Is what he'll set you back. He's better for the run, but nah, not for me. The one guy who I am a bit disappointed that didn't get up for their practice game is Sam Clahisi, who, when they played Brisbane in the first match sim of the unofficial preseason, I should say, actually had some nice moments. And I thought that if he got a run, he might have been able to push a little bit for a round one selection. It's not the case. So he is at best to be looked as a future downgrade target. Josh Gipkus, someone else who's generating a lot of interest from the fantasy community as a defensive option anyway. I know that there's some coaches out there hoping that they can plug him onto the bench and he can churn out some decent scores. 15% owned at the moment. I think those 15% of coaches should probably look elsewhere. He did show some decent intercepting prowess in the preseason hit out, but he averaged 40 from the 17 games he played as a rookie, and I think he's going to have another sub-50 average. So there's better bench picks out there, in my opinion. Similar with Oshin Mullen, only featured in 46% of the game time for Geelong, scored a 17. We may have some optimism that he can be a somewhat relevant cash cow this year, but I don't really trust it. And I don't really trust Chris Scott for that matter either. So he's another one you can draw a line through. I think Caleb Mitchell from the Swans is someone to at least add to your watch list. Scored 24 from half a game for Sydney. Matty Roberts is ahead of him in the pecking order, and I'll talk about him pretty soon. But I don't think you can go down the Caleb Mitchell route. There are, like I've said, a couple of other rookies who I do like. And while Caleb Mitchell might be a solid long-term option for the club, I don't know if he's going to be in their team for the first, call it month, maybe even worse. So you can probably steer elsewhere rather than going for Caleb Mitchell. And the last one I want to talk about, his ownership is quite dramatically high, but it's probably from a lot of auto-field teams. There's Billy Wilson from Carlton, defensive mid. There was some optimism that he could squeeze his way into their team, but with the Blues eager to make a serious run at a flag that this year, I don't think he's going to start the year there. Zach Williams gets injured and we see a couple of domino effects. Maybe Billy Wilson does come in and get a bit of a run, but he's not going to crack the rotation early. So view him as another downgrade target throughout the season at best. Turning my attention towards the midfield, and there are a couple of very popular cash cows that did their round one chances no harm. And I'm talking, of course, Riley Sanders and Colby McKercher. Talking Sanders first, at 285, you have to pay up for him. He had a massive 38-point fourth quarter against the Hawks, which boosted his score all the way to 92, which was great to see. The young man looked dominant, obviously excelled as the game developed. It was a bit of a blowout, so take what you want out of the last quarter. But even if he scored half that in the last and he scored in the 70-point threshold, everyone would be locking him into their side. Similar with Colby, 63 points. St. Kilda got the better of the Roos, and that was a pretty fiery game, to be honest. And Colby is literally about to play his first AFL game, so I wasn't too put off by his sub-70 score. I think that 63 will be below what he averages for the year. So have a lot of faith locking Colby and Riley into your midfield as on-field picks. Someone that you might roll the dice on early in the season, at least, is Josh Fay. Now, a lot of people were big on him last year. I know that the fantasy community will be aware of his fantasy stats from a year ago. But if you're not, in the VFL, he averaged 110 from 11 games, averaged a tick under 30 touches. 22 of them were kicks per game as well. So he really is a strong user by foot. And we want him to get a regular gig. He's priced at 277. So it might be a handy pivot away from a lot of the popular rookies. In saying that, I don't know if he's going to be staying there for long. There is a round three buy coming up for the GWS Giants, and there are guys like Harry Perryman, Isaac Cumming, who's the other one that I was thinking of, Finn Callahan. All of those guys are still going to come back into GWS's best side, and when they do, Faye's probably going to be pushed back towards a sub role at best, in my opinion. So scored 69, which was nice to see, and if he's given full opportunity, he can probably be that 65-plus average type of guy, but I'd much rather wait for a couple of weeks and see how their team looks when he's a bit healthier. And if we need to pivot after the bye, he might be a rookie that you target, maybe doing a little bit of a sideways shuffle with a cash cow who's stalled. Someone who I do have a bit more optimism in hanging around for longer is Matt Roberts. Now, I'm warming to the idea of picking him on my bench over a couple of other players, but Matty Roberts has obviously shifted to the half-back line for Sydney. At 18 disposals in their preseason hit-out, 15 of those were kicks against Brisbane as well. So Matty Roberts scored a pretty solid 65, and I think he's going to get defensive status as well. So he might have a little bit of added flexibility when round seven rolls around and those DPPs drop. Job security is somewhat questionable. I don't exactly have him in the basket of his. It's very shaky, but again, similar with Faye, we've got guys like Harry Cunningham, Jake Lloyd, a few other established Swans that still need to come into their best 22 outfit. So that might see Roberts pushed out. If he does play in round one, comes out with a solid score, and then he is named for round zero rather, and then we see him named for round one, then I do think Roberts is a fine bench pick. The one that I've got the most faith in from the bench perspective at this moment is Jai Clark. Had a lot of CBAs in his role. Didn't tackle, which I kind of expected him to do to boost his score against Essendon, but was able to get to 67 without too much fuss. Gathered 17 touches as well without filling up the rest of the box score. So he's a virtual lock for me as a midfield bench pick. A lot of these guys I'm mentioning are, you know, your 230, 240, even someone like Faye's 277. So it's a bit of extra cash to pay up, but I do have a lot of confidence that those guys can at least hang around for the first portion of the season and generate a lot of money
throughout. A couple of players that I'm about to discuss, though, I don't have the similar confidence in from midfield standpoint. Addressing a couple of the small-time guys, we got someone like Kane McAuliffe, Jackson Binns. There's a couple of other cheaper defenders that people have targeted. We know Clay Hall's injured. I don't think we really have any of those 200K basement midfielders yet. Maybe someone will get named for round zero or round one and my tune will change. But the other one who a lot of coaches have had in their team the majority of the preseason, myself included, but I'm starting to be a little bit concerned about his potential scoring output, and that is Jeremy Sharp. He's in 33% of sides at the moment. I said that he's a stock down. Now, he'll still play. He'll still score pretty well. I might even still pick him, to be honest, but at 284K, it's a bit to pay up for someone who's going to sit on your bench. He's actually slightly cheaper than Riley Sanders, but priced sandwiched between Colby and Riley Sanders. So there's some coaches that will be using Sharpie as their last on-field midfielder. He kicked a goal late to boost his score against Port Adelaide. We know that they got smoked by about 40 points and it wasn't really a competitive fourth quarter. So it does concern me that that's when we saw Jeremy Sharp do the best part of his scoring. It's also worth pointing out Nathan O'Driscoll's currently hurt. Liam Henry is gone. So a wing spot seems like it's definitely Jeremy Sharp's to start the season. In saying that, I think I'm going to cull him for now. I might change my tune in 9 days' time, but his stocks are definitely down after only scoring 51 points against the Power. As we switch up into the rucks, looking for someone who is stock up in the ruck department is a fool's errand, because there is no one that interests me from a cash cow standpoint. If you're looking for a rookie ruck, close. But at the moment, I think it's just best to almost punt that position. There's a lot of coaches out there that are trying to get a leg up on the rest of the competition and maybe pivot. Maybe someone like your Toby Conway gets a gig for Geelong and you go down that route. Jordan Sweet, he's 387K, but he only scored 51 from 43% of the game against Freo. And it's worth pointing that he didn't have any ruck contests against Sean Darcy or Luke Jackson, because obviously bloke didn't play. So you can't pay up for Jordan Sweet. Conway didn't play in the preseason. So as a result, neither of those 300K plus guys interest me. A couple of the cheapies, Will Verrill was running out there. He scored 9 points for Melbourne. And maybe if Max Gawn gets injured, he'll come into the side and be the 2IC in the ruck department. But it doesn't tempt me at all. Henry Smith was the only other one really worth mentioning who played for the Lions. 17 points he scored. Congrats, mate. You were able to actually play a somewhat AFL game, but he will have no fantasy upside. So let's talk about the two most popular rookie ruck picks at the moment. One of them is Harry Barnett, and the other one is Max Heath. Now, Max Heath sat very conveniently for me at R3 most of last year. And if you have Rowan Marshall, it actually kind of makes sense to pair those two together, two blokes from St. Kilda. But my R3 at the moment is Harry Barnett. And the big reason for that, he did actually play against Adelaide, had 33% of the game with a score of 11. Good on you, mate. But rolling into the start of the fantasy season, this R3 spot will probably be the only bloke who doesn't play for your fantasy side. So you will want to use that guy, I assume, for loophole purposes. As you look at St. Kilda's fixture, they only have one Sunday game over the first 10 weeks of the season. There's a couple of Thursdays and Fridays mixed in there as well. So it's not super ideal to have to use him in your loophole or your vice captain shout earlier in the week. West Coast is exactly flipped. They play 8 Sunday games in the first 11, for what it's worth. The other 3 games they play are all on Saturday, and only one of them is an AM game against Sydney. So from that perspective, that means you will probably have 4 to 5 games every weekend, maybe more, that have been completed by the time it comes to put Harry Barnett onto your field if you want to cash in your vice captain loophole. So that run, I think, is a nice little differentiator if you're trying to pick between Max Heath and Harry Barnett. So as it stands right now, a week and a half out from round one and the fantasy season beginning, if you want to try and find an R3 who can at least benefit you somehow, Harry Barnett is the man. It's no secret that we have an abundance of rookies in the forward line. So I promise I won't drag this out. And I think it's actually wise to have one of these mid-forwards as either your utility or maybe even in your midfield bench pick. I think that it will definitely help with a little bit of flexibility through the early buys. It's just my opinion, but as you're trying to get a loophole captain and juggle these buy rounds, there's so many other moving parts. So if you can put mid-forward as your M9, M10, worst in your utility, so at least you can put that bloke into your midfield rotation. I think that that could allow you a little bit of extra flexibility. Something that I've been thinking about, because I overthink a lot of things when it comes to fantasy, but a lot of coaches might not be considering that. So you may choose one of these gun, somewhat expensive forwards to put into that spot. I'm talking Darcy Wilson from St Kilda, arguably the biggest rookie riser from the weekend. Scored 97, excelled for St Kilda, actually looked bigger than I thought he was. So he'll be a strong win candidate for them all year. Charlie Lazaro did his chances no harm of being picked, scored an 80. He did score 88 to end the year last year as well when he was given a chance. So Lazaro looked pretty ideal. I'll be picking him at this rate. Harley Reid, your time is valuable. Pick the motherfucker. Don't go anywhere different. You might even be tempted by Caleb Windsor, despite his somewhat lackluster score. He had 46 and kicked 2 goals in that score, but injury concerns for Lockie Hunter means that Windsor's a pretty safe start in your F5 to F8 rotation throughout the season. So those four dudes, I think, are the most popular current forwards being picked from a rookie standpoint. If you could put 2 or 3 of them on your field in the forward line, maybe 1 or 2 of them on your midfield bench, your midfield and forward bench, I think that that's the ideal starting lineup. There were a couple of other forwards who boosted their fantasy potential throughout the preseason as well. Kyle Lohman had a 77. I can see him being Brisbane's pretty regular sub, at least to start the year and the season proper. So have a look and see how he goes round zero. Maybe he proves me wrong, but he has a career high when the AFL games commence of 63 fantasy points. So I don't know if he's going to be topping that very frequently. Similar with Oliver Dempsey, who's priced almost exactly the same as Lohman. Scored 75 against Essendon. I've been a Dempsey fan for a while, and I think he will probably get a decent run for the Cats this year. He isn't as good as Grian Myers, but plays a somewhat similar role. He is a pressure forward, but can be a handy ball user when kicking inside 50. He was getting a lot of touches around the deck, a bit of everywhere for what it's worth, but we know small forwards aren't conducive to great rookie scores. So those two I probably have as stock ups slightly, but I think you can pass on both of them to commence the fantasy season. A few other cheaper options you might want to steer towards. Harvey Thomas looks great for GWS. He's in less than 3% of teams at the moment. Looming is a decent mid-forward pick, though. I'm confident he can churn out a couple of scores. His job security isn't fantastic, but there's a lot of these rookies who we don't expect to score fantastic throughout the start of the season. We just need him to make us a little bit of coin. And I think Harvey Thomas can be one of them. You don't have to have him by any means. I'm much higher on his teammate, Aaron Cadman. 221K is what he costs, but it's a little bit less than some of the aforementioned forward names. I'm all in on him. He has been on my bench for most of the preseason. He looks much better in year two. He should be pretty similar in my eyes to Jacob Van Ruin from last year. And he actually had 18 ruck contests against the Gold Coast Suns for 4 hitouts in the preseason. So if he can add ruck status, that would be fucking unreal. A couple of other cheaper dudes who I will skim over somewhat quickly because I think they're all a little bit a tier below the aforementioned names. We got Bailey Laurie, scored 56 for the Ds, featured in 5 games last year, and he might commence the season in their team, but he might be one of the first ones out as well. So I don't love picking him. Harvey Gallagher from the Bulldogs, he is more of a long-term play for the Doggies, so he might not start the year for them. If he does, I'm still a huge fan of this guy, and he will probably battle to be best 22 all year, but you could go down that route. It's worth pointing out that Hugo Garcia scored okay as a 200K mid-forward. Someone like Biggie Nguyen as well for the Roos, he was playing down back, so he will become a forward defender player if he does continue to get gigs. Scored 56 and looked okay. But the one of these guys who I like the most, and I swear it's not because I'm a Dockers fan, but it was Cooper Simpson, who was injured in his draft year. So as a result, he slipped all the way to the 35th pick. Fremantle pounced on him, and I think he's going to play in round one. It was a decent showing from him against Port Adelaide. He only had 42 points, but there weren't exactly a lot of points flowing for the Fremantle Dockers. There's nothing wrong with picking him as your cheaper bloke if he's named round one. There's a lot of competition for spots of a similar role of him at the Dockers. So maybe he'll be someone who plays the first couple of games of the season and then slips back to something like a substitute role, kind of like we've seen Matty Johnson and Neil Erasmus do in a couple of years past. But like I said, there's a lot of rookies to pick from in your forward line, but someone like Harvey Thomas or Cooper Simpson, I think, are the best of the 200K blokes. I did skip over Zane Dersma very quickly before I get into the forwards who have stock down. He put some of the scoring concerns to bed with a 64, but it is only the preseason, remember, and I don't know if he's going to score a lot, but he should have pretty safe job security for the Roos. He'll play 15 to 20 games this year. Doesn't have an early bye as well, which is worth noting. So maybe he is the mid forward that you target and put him into your midfield rotation, because I do think that he's going to score okay. I don't know if he'll tick over 60, but if he can be in that 55-point mark, I still think that that's worth investing in. Handful of characters saw their stock go down from the forward cash cow perspective, but no one has been culled by more teams than from more teams than Finlay McRae. He was one of the preseason darlings. We were all picking him. It was just a matter of whether we were going to put him on our forward field or leave him on the bench. But his ownership percentage has already gone down 10%, and that should continue to slide, I think, unless he comes out in round zero for the Pies and scores pretty well. I think you got to draw a line through the bloke. He only played 36% of the game, which was kind of alarming against Richmond, because I thought that all the signs pointed to him getting a lot of minutes and being one of Collingwood's up-and-comers. He'll still play a few games throughout the year. I don't know if he's going to find regular midfield minutes for the reigning premiers, though. Maybe he's a player who's forced to be on a half-forward flank more regularly, and they'll chew Paddy Lipinski and Degoe and the Dacos boys, Pendles even, through that midfield rotation instead. Scored 28 points from his 36% of the game a week and a half ago. So we know he can score well. And if, again, he comes out in round zero, it looks really good, I might change my tune. But right now, you can't have Finn McRae in your side. Similar with Sean Manor. It's nothing really against their scoring ability. It's just a little bit of that shaky job security. He's a 200K mid forward, still arguably the most popular sub-300K guy in the forward line. But he actually had the lowest time on ground out of anyone that played in that Geelong-Essendon game. So can score at a decent rate, but you've got to monitor him, because he's not going to get a chance to showcase his talents again before Geelong and the fantasy season starts. And as a result, I think he will be their sub. Maybe he'll squeeze in as the last player on the field, but low time on ground is usually a pretty good indicator that they're not going to be gold up when the season proper arrives. Orazio Fantasia is another one. I was a bit high on this guy throughout the preseason. I thought maybe he could be a bit of a somewhat expensive cash cow, churn out a couple of decent scores as a forward, but he only had 22 in Carlton's preseason clash. So I think that that's burnt all of my optimism. A round two bye is pretty yucky as well. So should he go off week one or round zero or round one, then maybe you can always pounce on him after his bye. I think it's more likely that we just leave him out of our side and don't get too caught up in Fantasia. Jimmy Tunstall, another somewhat inflated rookie who's had a couple of games already, could start the season for Brisbane, but I think he's about the 30th bloke I've mentioned now in the forward line. So there's better options out there. Similar with Nick Watson. We know that small forwards aren't exactly great scorers. You can't be picking him after he churned out a 40 against the Dogs, even when you take into consideration the fact that the Western Bulldogs smoked Hawthorn. Richmond gave a couple of their young kids a run of the 200K forwards. I'm talking Steely Green and Seth Campbell. Probably add them to your watch list. Similar with Reith McInnes. If he was 200K, we might consider him a bit more, but 285K, he falls now into a similar basket as McRae, fighting to stay in the best 22 and replace Dan McStay in the forward line. 285K is too much to pay up for him, considering the uncertainties around his job for the Pies. Kynan Brown, he actually looked all right for Melbourne when they clashed with Richmond in the match sim game, and I thought maybe he'll be a bit of a round one bolter, but Melbourne's already named their team to take on, I'm pretty sure they play Sydney on Thursday off the Dome. That sounds right. But either way, Kynan Brown isn't going to be there. Maybe he'll be the sub. Probably not. Only played 12% of the game last weekend and scored a 13. So he and Colton Tholstrop, try to say that name 10 times real fast, from the Ds, will probably be future downgrade targets to pick. For what it's worth, Tholstrop played pretty much in the midfield for Casey during their VFL hitout last week, playing alongside Clayton Oliver. So I do think that he's a future downgrade target worth mentioning, as is Darcy Jones, who is still a bit banged up. Doesn't seem like he's going to get a game in the first month of the season, which does mean good things for someone like Harvey Thomas, but still a bit of a bummer for the popular preseason pick. There were some coaches that were hoping he could be our 200K bench forward option. He's obviously banged up now, so that is not going to occur, but keep his name on your watch list, because if he plays throughout the year, he might be a very convenient downgrade target. So before I wrap this up, let's talk about my current rookie structure. As I said, in the back line, I have no player under 300K on my field. Instead, I've got Zach Reed and Ethan Phillips. The only change I can see myself making is if Ari Schoenmaker gets a gig, I might swap Phillips over him, but I think that that'll stay pretty concrete. As I look into the midfield, I think two mids two mid cash cows is the route to go down. Maybe that's because I'm a bit scared by what I saw from Jeremy Sharp, and he hasn't exactly popped from a scoring standpoint throughout Freo's preseason games. And as a result, Colby McKercher and Riley Sanders are probably the only mid rookies I trust fielding. Again, like I said, if you've got a mid forward out of those guys all priced around the $280,000 mark that you want to play on your field, there's nothing taboo about it. I know that there's a lot of people saying that traditionally it's bad to put a mid forward on your field in the midfield, but I think it only just gives you future flexibility. So Charlie Lazaro, as a result, is my emergency at M9 and Jai Clark sitting there at M10. Talked quite actively about why Harry Barnett is my R3. And then rolling into the forward line, I'm kind of toggling between Harley Reid, Caleb Windsor, and Darcy Wilson. Two of them on my field, one on the bench. And then I've got Harry Cadman chewing up that final forward bench spot with Harvey Thomas, another mid forward, sitting as my current utility. And I tell you what, I think I really like my side. It's taken me most of the preseason to get to this point, but I'm gone with Errol Goulden. I've got five gun midfielders. I don't have too many rookies littered around that I don't love. I'm sticking with the Gorn Grundy combo. I'm not paying up for any premium forwards. And there's a lot of coaches that will embrace a lot of those tactics, but I think that they're popular tactics for a reason. So I will do a bit of a team review before Thursday night arrives and we see the first official AFL game. Doesn't count from a fantasy standpoint, but remember, the scores that we do see will dictate the price fluctuation for a lot of the players in round one as well. So that is all I've got for you from a cash cow standpoint on this Monday evening. Like I said, I'll be back on the Patreon feed doing this each week, talking stock up and stock down for all the important cash cows. But in the meantime, if you do have a fantasy question, you can obviously hit me up on this Patreon platform or instead fire a question through on social media. But as always, appreciate you listening to this episode. I'll catch you next time.